This is Nick Compton's Cricket World Cup show with me, James Gray, and Patrick Christies. England have lost the toss in the first game of the Cricket World Cup. It's all gone downhill already. Faf du Plessis has won the toss and chosen to field. England will bat first in the first game of the Cricket World Cup at the Oval. Patrick, your first reaction to that?
Doesn't really suit England. Doesn't suit England. No, it's not. We have this habit of liking to stick teams in and then chase it down because we've got a rather monstrous batting lineup. But also, it's not as if we didn't play our cards quite close to our chest on this. I mean, it's pretty obvious that that's exactly how we wanted to set up.
And that very much is the modern fashion in one-day cricket these days, is to field first and say, anything you can do, we can do better. It's the Show Tunes show with James Gray. Sorry, Nick. Honestly, I'm imagining Nick Compton listening to me sitting in for him just going, what have you done?
Yeah.
What have you done? Nick will be back tomorrow and reliably informed. We're hoping to have Monty Panesar in the studio a little later on, so don't go anywhere. He'll be giving us the lowdown on the full Monty. That's sort of a tautology, but he will be giving us the full Monty on the full Monty, which is his new book telling all about his England career. And we'll also ask him if this is the best England team he's ever seen. He played in some good ones, of course. And we'll also be talking a bit about spin bowling. Who knows more about spin bowling? The man has got 167 test match wickets. England are favourites. Mm. There is no getting away from the fact that England are favourites for the Cricket World Cup. It's not a position they've probably been in before. 92 is perhaps the only time they came into a tournament with such a strong favourites tag. Do you think that pressure will be too much for this team, Patrick?
Well, Owen Morgan basically looks like RoboCop, right? He looks like he's kind of least emotional guy ever. I think they're so thoroughly prepared. They've gone out of the Gareth Southgate school of preparation, I think, where everything is so meticulous, everything's so well thought through. And for goodness sake, James, they're even wearing the same kit they wore in 92.
It certainly is. It's a fine sort of pale blue. A sort of powder baby blue.
I don't see the occasion getting to them. It doesn't to me. Owen Morgan does not look like the type of guy that flaps under pressure. And that England team, they just look like they're so well drilled. They look like they're very together mentally as well, which is good to see. I don't expect there to be any real concerns here. We are favourites. The bookies have got us as quite significant favourites against this South Africa team. I would expect us to get the tournament off to a good start.
Yeah, South Africa, of course, do carry a bit of a threat, but one threat they do not carry is Dale Steyn. It means that their seam attack will be led by Kagiso Rabada, Lungi Ngidi as well, and Andile Felekwayo will also... Yeah, thank you very much, Patrick. Yes,
well done,
I did
mate.
Read that quite well. They will lead the seam attack. Imran Tahir, of course, is the spin threat. We don't think spin will play as big a role in this World Cup as previously. When people say, oh, later in the tournament, pitches will spin more, it's because they remember the Champions Trophy when Pakistan won it, when England was skittled in Cardiff on a worn pitch. The reason that we're not going to see spin play such a big role this time is we've got more grounds. The Champions Trophy, if you remember, was an international tournament played across just three different grounds. The Cricket World Cup, only Old Trafford are prepared to use a worn pitch because of pressure on the square there. It is a slightly smaller square since they turned it round 9 years ago. So we will see, I think, spin play less of a role. Frankly, we're not going to see seam play a massive role either. The Kookaburra ball doesn't swing. There are two new balls, 25 overs from each end, so you're not going to see it reversing. I think it's pace. I think this World Cup is going to be all about pace.
Well, given that, how big a loss is it going to be for South Africa that Dale Steyn is out? He is injured. Now, with him, they've won 72% of their one-day internationals. Without him, they've won 52%. So, look, just simple facts say that he is going to be a big loss, but especially today. How much of a boost will this give England's opening batsman, do you think, James?
I wonder if the likes of Jason Roy and Johnny Bairstow even look at who's at the other end. I honestly think, you know, Bairstow doesn't even care who's batting with. He was best mates with Dave Warner during the IPL. And, you know, a sworn enemy, a man who's going to get sledged to high heaven all summer, probably by Johnny Bairstow.
Yeah.
I really don't think those two lads care who's at the other end. Frankly, the faster it comes, the faster it'll go again. As I say, England lost the toss. South Africa chose to field first. It means England will bat first. Let's hear from England captain Owen Morgan on what he thinks of the World Cup.
Owen, you've lost the toss. What would you have done?
We would have looked to do the same. Just preference in chasing. The wicket looks really good. So I think it's going to be set fair all day and it shouldn't really change that much given the weather.
Who are the four cricketers you've left out?
Wood, Curran, Vince and Dawson unfortunately miss out. But the balance of the side that we've gone with is four against South Africa on this ground. So let's hope it's the right one.
Was Wood fully fit and available for selection?
Yes, he was. He jarred his ankle the other day, and we set precautionary measures in, but he is trained fully and available for selection today, but unfortunately he's missed out.
A word on Jofra Archer. This has been a difficult side to break into. You obviously rate him very highly.
Yeah, he's a guy who's come in and impressed. He's very calm when he plays, and he's done exactly what he's done around the world in different franchise leagues and at Sussex as well. So he's a very exciting prospect, given that this is the very start of his international career.
You've transformed this side from World Cup no-hopers to World Cup favourites. Is that a tag that sits with you comfortably?
Yeah, it does. Certainly all the work that's been done has been everybody within the group. It's been a collective drive for us, and certainly haven't been, you know, going into a World Cup with no chance. I much prefer going in as favourites.
Good luck this week.
Thank you very much.
So, news from the middle is that South Africa have won the toss. They're going to have a bowl.
Owen Morgan, England captain there, speaking to Sky Sports reporter and professional Vladimir Putin lookalike Nasser Hussain. Just to run you through that England 11 again, batting order is as you'd expect. Roy, Bairstow, Root, Morgan, Butler, Ben Stokes, and then the bowlers, of course, that is the mix and match. Moeen Ali all bat at 7, we think. Chris Wokes, Adil Rashid, Jofra Archer and Liam Plunkett. The new ball, we think, will be Chris Wokes and Jofra Archer. Plunkett, Stokes, Ali, Rashid will operate in the middle overs, and then we'll probably see those two openers back at the death. The South Africa team, Hashim Amla and Quinton de Kock will keep wicket. Aidan Markram at 3, Faf du Plessis, of course, the captain at 4. Rassie van der Dusen, JP Duminy, who's about 1,000 years old but still playing cricket for South Africa somehow, and Dile Fela-Lukwayo, Dwayne Pretorius, Kagiso Rabada, and of course Lungi Ndidi and Imran Tahir. Now, Imran Tahir is a sort of a strange old cricketer because he's obviously a fabulous bowler and he's very effective with the white ball and has kind of struggled to be as effective with the red ball. He's on an average of 24 with the ball in ODI cricket and 40 in test match cricket. Now, I wonder, you know, Adil Rashid has a similar problem as a wrist spinner, which is that he enjoys the format where batsmen have to come at him. But when they can just sit back and wait for the bad ball, i.e. test cricket, doesn't seem to be effective. I wonder if England might take a similar approach to Imran Tahir.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, it was interesting yesterday. We had Tamar Mills in. He's actually going to be in our cricket show later this evening, 7 till 8 as well. And he basically said that when it comes to Adil Rashid, you'd sit there and you look at him and you think, you're hitting for 6. Then you hit him for 4. And then he just gets you out the next ball. And it is part of that. I think the figures, certainly in one-day international cricket, especially the way the game's gone at the moment, which is basically like a slugfest, isn't it? They can be quite misleading because it's easy for a batsman to get hold of you. And before you know it, they've scored 20 off and over, but then they've chipped it up to cover. So it is a little bit misleading. The main thing in these games is about wickets. That's what breaks partnerships. That's what slows down the run rate. And frankly, as long as he's getting wickets, it doesn't matter too much if he's going for quite a few runs.
No, exactly. England, I'm sure, will basically treat Imran Tahir like every other bowler. Smash every ball for 6.
This is Love Sport.
Let's have a chat about the opening ceremony, right? Because online, it was getting rather a lot of trolling, right? So I don't know if anyone saw the opening ceremony of the Cricket World Cup.
Probably
yesterday.
Not, by the sounds of things.
Well, there were about 50 spectators actually on the Mall in London. It was a bit of a weird one, really. It was opening quintessentially British style with a lot of drizzle, which is nice. And then Paddy McGuinness and Andrew Flintoff, which looks a little bit like a low-rent Giacomo advert, to be perfectly honest with you. It's copped quite a lot of flack online for the opening ceremony, especially when you consider things that we've seen, like you rightly said, James, the London Olympics and also the China Olympics as well, although when you realise that those people weren't necessarily doing that of their own volition, it did take the gloss off it somewhat.
But, sounds like Lustful Radio.
Yeah, but I've been scouring the interweb, James, for some of the best...
Oh, that interweb.
Yeah, it'll never catch on.
No, I think it's a fad.
Yeah, I agree. It'll go soon. Just to find some of the best tweets, really, about this. So I thought I'd run them by you while we wait for Faf du Plessis.
Time for Patrick's funny tweets.
Hey, is there a jingle? No, it's not a jingle. Right, okay. So this person's gone, not to be dramatic or anything, but the World Cup cricket opening ceremony is the worst thing I've ever watched. At the opening ceremony for the Cricket World Cup, naturally it is drizzling, as it was when we last hosted it in 1999. Now we just need some fog, some underwhelming fireworks, and a speech from the Duke of Kent that no one can quite hear.
Who is the Duke of Kent?
Yeah, I know.
No one knows who the Duke of Kent is.
Not at all. Anyway, let's go. The celebrity assigned to represent Pakistan at the ceremony is Malala. You know the girl who was quite famous for... She was attacked by the Taliban. She went on to study, I think, at Oxford.
Yeah.
Rather well. So won the Nobel Peace Prize as well, I believe. We've just had it whispered in my ear, which is probably what I should have led in with. Anyway, so
not a big deal.
So they've got the celebrity aside to represent Pakistan at the ceremony is Malala, which is quite a signing. Looking forward to hearing her views on whether reverse swing will play a factor.
Fantastic. This is the thing, I believe Chris Hughes from Love Island was also there.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know who Chris Hughes is or what Love Island is, but nevertheless, I'm told that he was there in some capacity.
It just seems to be this like relentless push now to go, okay, all right, well, look, we just need to bring this to the youth. We need to do everything that we can. Who's been on Love Island? You can do it. Why? Why is this happening?
I do know what you mean. And look, this is part of the ECB's push to bring cricket to the masses. Mm. It's hard. It's very hard to sell cricket because realistically, the sporting landscape is extremely, extremely slim. Yeah. I'm sorry, I've just had a look from my producer that says the world has just ended, so I'm assuming everything's going really well.
Absolutely fine. There's no issues with the phone lines whatsoever, and anyone who says that there are is lying.
We're 15 minutes away from England versus South Africa. Remember that they have won the toss. South Africa won the toss and elected to field. Let's hear from South Africa skipper Faf du Plessis.
Faf, what are you going to do?
We're going to have a ball.
Is that because of what you see underneath you, or it just suits your team?
No, I think in general, obviously, 10th of any start at the Oval, if there's anything in the wicket, it's probably in that first hour.
Which four cricketers have you left out, your 15?
Chris Morris, Dale Steyn, Tobias Shamsi and David Miller.
How far away from full fitness is Dale Steyn?
Probably about 80%, so we're hoping that he would be 100% probably about game three.
You've got three games in 7 days. It's important you hit the ground running, isn't it?
Yeah, we're playing against a quality team today, so we're just looking forward to a great occasion, the start of the first game of the World Cup. It's going to be a good one.
In a tournament that might be dominated by the bat, how nice does it have to those bowlers that you have at your disposal?
Yeah, we've got some really good fast bowlers. Lungiengiri and KG has been exceptional for us the last 2 years, and then when Dale's back, it'll be three really good ones.
And with the bat, this is the ground that Hashim Amla likes. He's got a triple test 100 here. Nice to see him back in a bit of form.
Yeah, he's played really good in the warm-up game, so good to see him scoring some runs again. And hopefully, like you say, he gets the tournament off and running with a good start for himself.
Go well, Faf.
Thank you very much.
Aaron, you've lost the toss. What would you have done?
We would have looked to do the same. Just preference in chasing. The wicket looks really good, so I think it's going to be set fair all day.
That's Owen Morgan there, but previous to him, Faf du Plessis speaking to Sky Sports' Nasser Hussain. He does, of course, have Hashim Amla back in the batting lineup. He will open with Quinton de Kock, but not until a little bit later this afternoon because South Africa have won the toss and will field. It is the fashion now to field first in one-day international cricket. We're just seeing scenes from the Oval where Prince Harry has turned up in a thin tie. It's not quite a thin tie, is it? I'm not sure of the genre of that, but I'm not overly keen on it.
Well, you can guarantee that the Sun are going to do some kind of cost by cost breakdown of his outfit for us, so we'll have all the latest on that. It probably turns out it's a snip at £7,000 a tie.
Yeah, he does look like he's had a little bit too much sleep for a new dad. I think he's probably not doing all the 2 a.m. feeds.
I honestly think if I'd just had a baby and I'd been tasked with opening the Cricket World Cup, I'd have walked out there, strode out proudly onto the pitch, started talking at the microphone and realised I'd not put my pants on.
We have no proof that Prince Harry is wearing pants. And let's face it, he might not be, and we would never know. He's going a bit thin on top. I know they've not got great genes, the royal family, for a number of reasons, including the fact that they're all related to each other. They are. Come on, they're all three.
Well, the clue's in the name family, isn't it?
Well, I suppose so.
Yeah.
But he's going quite thin on top. Is it treason to suggest that Prince Harry's going bald?
I think our Drive Time show host, Richard Lee, could probably send him the number of quite a good hair transplant doctor.
Well, he can give him his full loyalty card, can't he?
He can,
and he can have the free one.
It's like, you know, when you go to Costa, when you go 10 times, you get a free coffee. Like that. When you go 10 times, you get a free Barnett.
Yeah, it's precisely the joke I was making, Patch. You've just elongated it. That's all you've done there. Thank you very much.
Excellent.
We should talk about the 100, really, because we were talking earlier about the opening ceremony and its desperate effort to connect with the young people, the youth in England, cricket and the youth.
Yeah.
The 100 is the perfect example of the ECB. I don't know if you've ever heard Dead Ringer's version of the Radio 4 show Go For It, which is Radio 4's version of young people on radio. Now, at Love Sport Radio, where 75% of our listeners are young people, we know how to connect to the youth, but Patrick, the ECB don't.
Yeah, well, no, look, exactly. So look, they've decided that the best way to try and make cricket more appealing to people is to drastically reduce the amount of cricket that is on offer. So the 100 is obviously, clues in the name, 100 balls, but plans could be scuppered by a name farce. That's right.
Brilliant.
So, basically, the ECB is intended to apply a full set of trademarks. The eight new sides in obviously next year's 100 Ball tournament have been scuppered because of a lack of consensus over the name of the team based at the Oval. They can't decide whether they're going to call them London Fuse, London Rebels, London Union, or London X.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, first three, I was like, okay, so what we got here? We've got the Rebels, the Fuse, yes, okay. What was the other one?
You've got the Union.
The Union, okay, yeah. A bit of yeah,
sounds like a cool pub. I'm just nipping off to the Union.
But the X.
The X, yeah. What annoys me about this is you can just tell some PR executives have been paid the best part of several million pounds to come up with something, and they've probably done some kind of like grand unveiling, like Juventus's new kit, where they've got this big thing and down comes the curtain, and everyone's disappointed.
Well, the Rebels would be quite funny because famously the two London counties threatened to walk away from the 100 and not participate because they didn't feel they were getting enough money out of it given that the pull that they bring.
Do you actually think that the 100's going to work? I mean, look, I love cricket, you love cricket, we all love cricket, right? But
I don't like cricket.
Do you not?
I love it.
You did your Simon Cowell then. I didn't like it. I loved it!
Yay!
Oh, fantastic.
Amanda Holden's in tears.
But I can't work out whether or not I'm a fan of this new format, or I'm not. I really can't work it out whatsoever. You know, I get it. It's shorter. It's the type of game you could take your girlfriend to, right? So my missus, I desperately tried to explain the rules of cricket to her yesterday. It's a conversation that is still ongoing and will be for the foreseeable future. But the 100, you know, you're in, you're out. You've seen a few people whack a ball a long way in the meantime. I can see how it could appeal.
It's over in 2 hours as well, which is, well, I know your girlfriend's a big fan of anything that's over and been quicker than that sort of time.
Love Sport.
This is Nick Compton's Cricket World Cup show with me, James Gray, and Patrick Christie. Nick is not here today. I'm sitting in for him, but he is on the line now. Nick, we're 8 minutes away. We're finally here. I'm very excited. I don't know about you.
Mate, I can't wait. I tell you, it's been a long time coming. England have been ready, almost over-ready. I don't know if you can be over-prepared, can you, for something like this, you know? But it is a bit like the Olympics, you know? Your moment comes. Can they perform? Can they wear that, you know, sort of dominant tag as favourites? You know, it's not an easy tag to have. And I think the coming weeks and days will really sort of give us a clearer answer on whether this is the real deal and whether England can go that final step.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, they're going to have to try and set the tone, I think, aren't they? What should we expect maybe from this pitch at the Oval and from this South African bowling attack as well?
Plenty of runs. It's going to be flat. Oval's one of the best places to bat, certainly one of the best places I've batted on. And I think you're going to see a high-scoring match. People like Jason Roy, I think look out for him. If he can get going, get past a few of those nervy sort of outside edges, that I'm sure Rabada will beat the bat. He's the number one bowler in the world. I'm looking forward to this contest. I mean, you've got Bairstow, Roy against Rabada and Ngidi. You know, two high-quality fast bowlers. I think that's where South Africa's chances lie. Is taking early wickets. You know, Rabada needs to get some early wickets. He's a fantastic death bowler as well. But I think if England can get through it on a good wicket, I expect them to win. But you know what? I mean, South Africa very rarely coming into World Cups as underdogs in any form of the game. And for the first time they are. And, you know, that might just play into their own hands. They might just sort of see that as a real example.
Nick, thanks very much for getting in touch. I know you've got a busy day ahead of you.
Guys.
The teams are just walking out with Nick Compton. Now, this is Nick Compton's Cricket World Cup show. I'm sitting in for Nick today. He is otherwise indisposed. England and South Africa are walking down the steps at the Oval, throwing a few high fives at the mascots. Have we got mascots for both teams?
Oh, absolutely. No expense spared, Jack.
Child labour is very cheap, of course, famously.
Yeah, we did take an example out of the opening ceremony at the Chinese Olympics. So they'll start drumming in a minute and we'll all be fine.
I always think, right, this is great. First game of the World Cup, you're a mascot and you get, I don't know, Imran Tahir or someone that, you know, some South African player, right?
Yeah.
And you're a seven-year-old English cricket fan. And that's kind of fine because it's the first game of the World Cup. They're playing England. That's great. But if you're doing, I don't know, Bangladesh, Afghanistan, you know, in Cardiff, and you're walking out holding the hand of some bloke who you never heard of and may never see again, I think that would be a little underwhelming. I hope they haven't got 22 mascots for every game.
I think that they should use the mascots, deploy them as some kind of demotivational advice for the device for the opposition. So as they're being led out, the mascot, you know, as they do, because they're all kids, normally the cricket pros will bend down, give them a little hug, and just as they do, the mascot whispers, "You're going to mess this up," into his ear. "You're nothing."
You know the way seven-year-olds can be really, really cutting and actually really sort of truthful out of the mouths of babes and the rest of it. If they just sort of just came out and just said, I hear Joe Root doesn't think you're very good.
Yeah. that's nice. Do you like cricket?
Yes, but I don't like the way you play it.
Oh, right. Thank you very much.
Fair.
I don't really fancy opening today.
Yeah, exactly. This is like the finer details. So you know, Jordan Pickford has the kind of penalty taking information on his water bottle. Mm. We should be going into the fine margins like this, and I think really getting the most out of our mascots.
We're hoping that Monty Panesar will be joining us in the studio in the next couple of minutes. He's currently trying to find the studio, but he's on his way. He is on his way. Monty is inbound.
If anyone is outside listening to this now and you can see Monty Panesar walking up and down the street outside, just guide him to 115 Southwark Street. It's the second floor.
I'm delighted that you've told people where the studio is now. When I say really horribly offensive things, they can come and find me and have a word with me to my face. The whole point, Patrick, is we're hiding behind a microphone, and what you've done is broken the fourth wall so that someone can come in here and break my third wall.
Just before we hopefully get a Monty Panesar in the studio, I want to ask, could today be the day that we finally smash 500 runs in a one-day international, James?
Well, there's been a lot of talk about this quest for 500. England apparently are obsessed with it. Mm. At least that's what everyone else says. Yeah. Virat Kohli in quite an achingly hip joint in East London, as Mike Atherton called it in his column this morning. Hip joint. Yeah, it's a sort of joke, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, thank you. I always find it's better to explain my jokes.
Yeah.
And then people really know that I'm funny.
Right.
You know, I'm famously funny and I need to tell people as much. It was in this sort of, you know, on a sofa with a big brown leather sofa with hardwood floors, a sort of Q&A thing. Mm. And Virat Kohli kept talking about how obsessed England are with getting 500. And I was like, mate, you're the one talking about it all the time. But it is achievable. Run rates have been going up and up in cricket. Between the 92 and the 95 World Cup, the average run rate, I believe, was 4.9. Between this World Cup and the last, the average run rate in ODIs is closer to 5.5. Now, that rise in one-day cricket is partly due to T20 cricket, and teams just aren't afraid anymore.
Yeah.
I think there's also been a little bit of a technological advance in that bats are getting bigger, pitches are generally flatter, they now have the new ball from both ends so you don't have any reverse swing,
yeah.
And I think that makes it much easier for batsmen.
I also saw an absolutely fascinating thing last night, which is this new style of bowling machine. So we all know what a traditional bowling machine looks like, but now they've got basically a kind of screen in front of it that mirrors the exact bowler, so you can pretty much type in any bowler in the world, and you will see a video of them running towards you with the ball in their hand, you know, at a cricket ground. The ball will then be released, obviously, through just a little hole in the screen, and it can mirror any delivery. So actually, the fact is that these England players have already probably faced, maybe this morning in the net, 100 balls from the people that are going to be opening the bowling and coming on in the South African spin attack as well. So I just think that's, when you talk about technology, that's got to be a massive benefit for the batsmen. The bowlers don't get anything quite like that.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And this is the thing, that one of the big differences in international cricket is that you've actually got, when I go and open the batting for the Streatham and Marlborough second 11, as I will be on Saturday,
good man,
I've never seen the Yule and Cheam opening bowler before. I honestly wouldn't know him from Adam. So I spend the first five overs going, all right, okay, yeah, what's, oh, he's coming, oh, he's bowled. Okay, good, right, interesting. And that's all you're doing. Whereas now they walk out, they've probably already had a net in I've netted in those nets and they're right under where the changing rooms are. So they'll have, as soon as they lost the toss, Johnny Bairstow and Jason Roy will have gone down, hit a couple of balls, and they will walk out, sing the national anthem, and then just go from ball one. It's not like they play themselves in anymore. And as you say, they've already seen these bowlers bowl time and time again. They've faced them in virtual circumstances. I'm amazed they're not sitting there with an Oculus on, basically in 3D hitting the ball. I've actually seen it used like that. I don't know if the technology is catching up that far yet. But yeah, I think it's massively unfair. I'm a batsman, so I don't mind. But it's a hard, hard game for bowlers now.
I think it's probably quite a good job that I haven't got one of those VR headsets in my flat, because otherwise I'd have smashed absolutely everything. Just practicing my slog to cow corner or my kind of chip over the covers. Oh, there goes the telly. Well,
but you could be facing international bowlers. That's the cool thing. You could actually be in your living room facing Jimmy Anderson, and then your missus comes home and goes, why is the lampshade broken? Go, oh, well, to be honest, I late cut Jimmy Anderson for four, so I think you should be proud of me, if anything.
Yeah, so look, obviously, Jason Roy and Johnny Bairstow are just taking to the crease now. Just before we bring you all the latest from there, James, you are back again this evening, aren't you, with our cricket show in line with the Cricketer magazine?
I am the all-singing, all-dancing cricket expert for Love Sport Radio over the World Cup. And yes, 7 till 8 tonight here on Love Sport Radio will be me, Nick Friend of the Cricketer magazine, and Tamal Mills, of course, of Fast Bowling and That.
See, the reason I brought that up is because I believe that you are going to try and get him to bowl at me. Well, there's a rumour that's going around the office, James. I'm sort of hoping
that we're going to get someone said an inflatable or a soft ball, but I think that would take some of the sort of fun out of it.
Well, pain out of it, definitely.
Well, yeah, but that's what I kind of want. Is I think that Tamal Mills running up and down the production office, bowling a short, sharp spell of fast bowling at you. It will have to be short because he can only bowl four overs because of his back. but I think that might be rather amusing, really.
This is Love Sport.
England are 1-1. It's a disastrous start to the World Cup for Johnny Bairstow. He's out. South Africa surprised us all by giving Imran Tahir the new ball, the leg spinner. Jason Roy got off the mark with the first ball, but Johnny Bairstow is out. Second ball of the World Cup, Patrick.
Absolutely lovely ball. That lovely fly from Tahir, and it's just drifted away from Bairstow, caught the outside edge. It's a good catch as well from de Kock behind the stump. So, and also, Tahir has embodied what I think is a modern thing of cricket, which they've nicked from football, which is absolutely losing it when you take a wicket.
It's a it's a brilliant celebration Imran Tahir always produces. It's a decent ball.
I'll tell you what, it's not a particularly thin edge as well. It's a nice piece of wicket keeping that.
Yeah, it is a good take. Imran Tahir, 40 years young, sprinting into the years indeed.
40 years young?
40 years and 64 days.
I'm waiting for the Imran Tahir nutrition book to come out.
He's the AC Milan of cricket. But yeah, he has gone off celebrating into the offside, as you can imagine. A dream start for South Africa, a nightmare start for England. Now, I was talking to Martin Allen on the breakfast show this morning and saying that England, when under pressure, this England team, they don't shrink, they expand, they stand up, they puff their chest out and they attack, they bat their way out of trouble. Walking out there, Joe Root looks to me like he might be a little bit nervous.
Yes, there is a little bit of a sense around this England team. I must say, you can tell from body language, but you know, when they came out and did the national anthem and just the way they walked to the crease, it did look a bit nervy, but this is to be expected. Now, I hope we don't do what we've always done, frankly, in this country, which is put ourselves on such a pedestal, demand so much, raise the expectation levels, and then end up really disappointed.
Yeah. So many times we've seen England teams at World Cups, whether it's cricket, whether it's football, or whether it's rugby, come out, be favourites, look really good in warm-up, and then just sort of splat onto the pavement.
Just a quick Monty Panesar update. Monty Panesar is somewhere outside the studios, and we have sent somebody out to go and fetch him in. So fingers crossed, the one and only Monty Panesar will be here in a couple of minutes.
I'm really excited to see what state he turns up in, because honestly, he's been wandering around Southwark for the last half an hour trying to find the studio.
He's done a warm-up.
I'm worried. I'm worried he's going to be exhausted. I'm concerned.
No, he's going to be fine.
Okay.
Imran Tahir. Forget I'm not watching this in my front room.
Imran Tahir is bowling very well. He's just done Joe Root with the googly. He's not out, but he definitely didn't pick the googly out of the hand. It's gone straight on, and Joe Root's just basically inside-edged it off his own stumps, and it's squirted away into the leg side. There are a lot of England fans at the Oval this afternoon, as you can imagine, and I don't think they're enjoying themselves very much. South Africa, remember, just to bring you right up to date, South Africa won the toss. They elected to field, as is the fashion in modern one-day international cricket. England have named a bowling attack that includes Jofra Archer and Chris Wokes, Moeen Ali, Adil Rashid and Liam Plunkett. No place for Mark Wood, but Owen Morgan did insist at the toss that Mark Wood is fit. Patrick, I did think you were a little surprised by the absence of Mark Wood.
Yeah, I was, but then when I weigh it up, I think it's probably the right decision, actually. I just like the idea of Mark Wood and Jofra Archer steaming in at the start, you know, and I understand that might seem a bit one-dimensional, but that's me, James. I'm quite blunt. I just like to see raw pace and batsmen try to smash it out of the park.
Well, I have to say, I confidently declared earlier on in this show that this would be the World Cup of pace, and the first over has been bowled by a leg spinner who's taken a wicket second ball. So, shows what I know. But fortunately, Nick Compton is back tomorrow to present Nick Compton's Cricket World Cup show, so that'll certainly give a little more expertise to proceedings.
What I will say is, it's not panic stations. England are 1-1 after the first over. Obviously, nightmare start for Johnny Bairstow, getting out the first ball that he's faced at the World Cup. But look at the strength in this England cricket batting lineup. You've got Owen Morgan, Josh Butler, there, Ben Stokes, and it just goes on and on and on and on. And
Moeen Ali's got one of the fastest one-day international hundreds in English history.
It's fantastic.
And he's batting at seven.
Exactly. And, you know, Chris Wokes and Jofra Archer as well, although we've not seen much of him with the bat at international level so far. Apparently, he can smack a ball a long way. So, you know, when you compare it to the South African batting lineup, England should just have too much firepower for them, as long as our bowlers can do their bit.
Lungi Ngidi is taking the other new ball. I was going to say taking the new ball at the other end, but of course there are two new balls in one-day international cricket now. He has started with a pretty fiery delivery back of a length. I think it's fair to say South Africa are fired up and that early wicket has helped.
Do you think, actually, when you're playing against the hosts of a tournament in the first game, you know all the pressures on them. You know all of the pressures on them. Actually, is this going to be all South Africa's, mentally anyway, maybe, one of their easier games, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think South Africa at a World Cup, there is no easy game because, frankly, they are serial chokers. They have always been a team that struggles at World Cups for whatever reason. They've always found a way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. But yes, I think they knew England would be nervous, and I think that's why they opened with Imran Tahir. I think it's a clever move because you take the pace off the ball and you're able to say, you know what, actually, this is that you have to hit us. We're not going to run in and bowl fast and back of a length so that you can slap the ball all over the oval and you can be 80 for none off 10. Yeah. We're actually going to make you do the hard work. And that's what they've done by opening with Imran Tahir. They've played on England's nerves.
Yeah, well, look, absolutely. I'll tell you who has looked slightly more assured, though, is Jason Roy. Got off the mark first ball and he's just squirted a couple away there down the leg side as well. And his form going into this tournament has been absolutely sensational. Bear in mind, he's been in and out of this England side a little bit. He said he struggled a little bit mentally when he first broke into it. Have a look at this. 89 not out, 32, 114, 76, 87 and 35 not out in his last few innings there. He is in the form of his life and we would expect big things from him.
Yeah, I think England's top order is going to be what wins or loses this World Cup. It seems obvious to say, but they have firepower lower down, but I don't think that's going to make a difference because you're going to have to score 350, 400 on a semi-regular basis to win this World Cup. And yeah, the way Jason Roy plays, especially when Bairstow doesn't get runs, he's had the luxury of an informed Johnny Bairstow for quite a long time now at the top of the order. And they probably haven't got the depth now with no Alex Hales in the squad. James Vince is a very capable opener and in good form, but they probably haven't got the depth anymore to say, you know what, Jason, sit this game out. I think they have a set opening partnership that they should pick for every game now, injury notwithstanding. But when Bairstow doesn't get runs, how does Roy react? You mentioned the mental side of it. England sides traditionally have been very good at standing at the other end and watching wickets fall because they're so used to it. But Roy has been used to dominating attacks. What's he like under pressure? This is pressure. England are 2-for-1 off 1.4 overs in the first game of a home World Cup for which they are favourites. If this isn't pressure, I don't know what is.
Absolutely. And Ngidi now 4 balls into his first over. England are 2-for-1. Jason Roy managed to squirt one away down the leg side at the start of this over. But just a word on Lungi Ngidi, 23 years old, from Durban. It's always depressing now, isn't it, when you see that the year somebody was born and it says 1996 and they're playing on the television. By the way, that's a fantastic shot that by Joe Root. Through the covers, 4-4. The first boundary of England's World Cup has just happened.
England are going to win the World Cup.
Absolutely. Well, it's coming home. It's coming home.
I mean, it's literally already home. It's already less than a mile away.
It is, actually.
It's just round the corner. That is a fine shot from Joe Root, given some width and some length by Lungi Ngidi and punching the ball through the covers to get off the mark and, as you say, give England their first boundary of the Cricket World Cup.
At risk of sounding like my girlfriend, quite like the kit. They've started getting going in it now, and I don't know whether it's the fact that I've just seen Joe Root smash one through the covers, but this light blue shade just give off a kind of almost regal sense to England. It really does stand out.
Regal's not the word I would have used. I think it's pretty bold, given that we've already had royalty on screen this morning in the favour of Prince Harry, and he wasn't wearing any of those colours. And famously, the royal colour in this country is purple, Patrick. Other than that, regal as you like. I didn't think I was going to get stuck into you there, but I have, I'm going to stick with it.
You're like the cricket Gokwan.
Look, it's a great kit, you're right. It's that powder blue. It resembles something from 1992. And yeah, I think it is a decent kit. And hopefully it'll bring us our first Cricket World Cup triumph in a home World Cup.
Love Sport.
Nick Compton's Cricket World Cup show with me, James Gray, Patrick Christie's. And I'm joined in the studio, I'm delighted to say, by Monty Panasize. Made it, found the studio, we're all good. Monty, thank you very much for coming in. Delighted to have you here. You come clasping a copy of your book, The Full Monty. Tell me a little bit about the process of putting it together.
Yeah, it was a really sometimes, you know, when you talk about things and you're going through your good and your bad times and the whole career, there's memories where you forget, there's memories where you think, oh, that was a really good time. And I thought it was a really nice experience, you know, going through with my author how to just put everything together, and even going through the pictures when I was a little kid and how I grew up. It was a bit of a timeline, you know, putting everything together.
Tell me a little bit about your early experiences with cricket. You're obviously, you know, you're the first Sikh to play cricket for England. It's obviously a community that has massive, massive roots in cricket. You must have played cricket from year dot, I'd have thought.
Yeah, I played cricket at Luton Town and Indians, which amalgamated with Luton Town. It was his own club initially, and then they both amalgamated. And one of my coaches, their passion was they want me to, well, one of our youngsters to make it into the international arena. And luckily, I got to play for England. And his dream, you know, came true. And it was just, yeah, remarkable how the whole nation really, you know, grabbed onto the way I played cricket, the way I celebrated cricket. We never, you know, dreamed about these things. And it was just unbelievable.
At what point did you know? Did you just know you were going to make it?
I think when I played minor counties cricket at the age of 16, and I felt that I've got a chance, I can make it. And I remember Paul Taylor, Northants player then, who said to me, why don't you try and bowl spin, when I was 14, 15? And then because I wasn't bowling quick enough, to be honest. And and then I started to bowl spin, and it was, really good.
In terms of playing for England, when you first got that call up, tell me about your feelings, your reactions, and a little bit about exactly what it was to play for England, how proud you were to do that.
Yeah, it's a very proud moment for me. I was, you know, absolutely delighted. It was unbelievable. And it was, you know, really good, really good.
Fantastic.
I know you're running off because your phone's ringing now, but we'll hopefully get you back in. Patrick, we talked about the pressure and the responses to pressure that England might have in these particular circumstances. How do you think they have stood up to it?
Well, look, it's probably a little bit early, so 3.3 overs gone. Look, Johnny Best has got off to a nightmare start. It is going to be very, very difficult, I imagine. It's the kind of ultimate, the ultimate kind of slap in the face, isn't it? To put all that preparation in, all that effort in, all that work, and then you snick off first ball. That, to me, looked like a slightly nervous shot from Johnny Bairstow. Getting drawn outside his off stump. You know, just hanging the bat there. There wasn't really any real purpose behind it. He did just leave the bat there and ended up catching the edge. So, look, since then, though, it's all gone rather well. Joe Root is looking actually in fine fettle. Any nerves have been completely allayed from the moment he crushed that ball through the covers. He's now just pulled another one away to square leg for four. He's 11 off 14.
At what point do we panic for England? Let's say they lose.
Oh, no, yeah. We've not gone to penalties yet, James.
I did actually have a dream last night that this game got rained off and we had to have a bowl off for the result. And obviously England lost. But that's not going to happen because its sun is shining in South London. Joe Root is 11 not out. If England lose to South Africa, obviously the round robin format gives us an opportunity to come back from that. But at what point do you think England will start to panic?
Well, I've just started to panic, James, because it looked like Joe Root had been caught at kind of the gully area, but it did just bounce in front. Yeah, look, it's always going to be tricky, isn't it? If you lose the first game at Cricket World Cup, it can be quite difficult to come back from, and it can have quite a big impact on you mentally. I think realistically, though, this England side, they look slightly more unflappable than ones I've seen in the past. I think in this modern era as well, sports psychology is so important. We've never seen it done better, and we've never seen it done better than with this English cricket team. I don't think it's panic stations. It's one day international cricket. Anything can happen. Sometimes you'll come out on the right side of it, sometimes you won't, and we'd back England to come out on the right side of it more often than not.
Yeah, and I think pressure is one of those things that can do funny things to people, but England cannot have been better prepared, frankly, than this. As Nick said earlier on the phone to us, they were probably ready a week ago. They might have been too ready in terms of coming into this World Cup. They had two warm-up games against Australia and Afghanistan, which, frankly, they didn't need. That Australia and Afghanistan got a lot more out of that game, those games, than England did. Losing to Australia, sure, might have given them a little bit of a wake-up call, but I don't think England will even have, frankly, taken anything from that. It was a game, you know, with pre-season friendly type of intensity, and I don't think you're going to see England play like that again. Yeah. So I don't know whether they're too ready for this. I don't know if you can be too ready, but England might be.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, look, just a little look ahead as we come to the end of the third over there now at the Oval. The West Indies take on Pakistan tomorrow, New Zealand, Sri Lanka on the Saturday, as well as Afghanistan, Australia and South Africa, Bangladesh on the Sunday. I just want to get your take, James, on some other teams to watch at this tournament. The West Indies specifically, as far as I'm concerned, are, I think, the ultimate kind of outsiders for this tournament that actually could really cause an upset. They've got tremendous firepower and they've got the universe boss at the top of the order.
I don't like self-titled nicknames, so I don't like it when Chris Gayle comes out and calls himself the universe boss. He did a pretty Chris Gayle-esque interview, frankly, the other day, where he said, everyone knows I'm the man. They might not say it in interviews. They'll pretend that I'm not the man, but off camera, they know that I'm the man.
He kissed the female reporter. No, he didn't.
I mean, yeah, he is obviously a supremely talented cricketer. He's an extremely powerful batsman, but he's not the only thing that the West Indies have. Shai Hope at number three, I know Tamal Mills is a really big fan of, and I don't see why not, why he couldn't be the man that actually leads the run scoring for the West Indies beyond Chris Gayle. Because much as Gayle's powerful and once he's in, he's very hard to get out, there are a couple of cheat codes for him. You know, tend to start with off spin against him early on. He doesn't like it so much. As Joe Root just plays a fabulous little reverse paddle dab sweep. He's not going to get four for it, unfortunately. Wonderfully innovative. But that's the kind of difference. And I think if you listen to people who've played against someone like Shai Hope, you know, who's going to bat at three for the West Indies, he is the guy who can make a difference. We spoke to Colin Munro here on Nick Compton's Cricket World Cup show yesterday, and he certainly is a big fan of Shai Hope. I hope that we could get some audio of that in a little bit later, but no luck at the moment. But he, you know, he's a guy who's scored a lot of runs for New Zealand. He's someone who obviously has played against Shai Hope and seen him up close. They've also got, down the order, the kind of firepower that I think only England can match. Andre Russell, who just hit sixes at will, it would seem. Carlos Brathwaite, Ben Stokes knows exactly how powerful he can be. And then someone like Shmaron Hetmyer, who obviously is a very skillful and powerful player. But they're taking on Pakistan in the opening game. And I don't think Pakistan is to be underestimated. I know they lost 4-0 to England in the ODIs.
They're one of those teams, aren't they, that can just pull it out of the bag. Pakistan are always very hit and miss, but once they get going and if they get a bit of momentum behind them, they normally do quite well. Just a quick update, by the way. Joe Root's been a little bit lucky here. He's forcing it through the leg side, just chips it up through the mid-wicket area. Unfortunately, I believe, it's just kind of just evaded the fielder there. But however, England are 29-1. Imran Tahir's not taking too much tap, but a little bit. A couple of fours and a couple of singles as well, just to kind of calm everything down for England. Jason Roy's on 10 off 9 and Root's on 19 off 20. England 29-1 at the end of the fifth over.
A decent recovery from obviously what could barely have been a worse start. Five overs in, they are just one down. But losing a wicket, second ball, losing a wicket to Johnny Bairstow. He caught behind off Imran Tahir. Fine bit of wicket keeping from Quentin de Kock to get rid of Bairstow for a first ball duck. He, of course, is a big part of England's batting lineup. I also know he's a very resilient character. I think he's, you know, it would be easy for someone to get out first ball of a World Cup, you know, with all the expectation and pressure that goes with that, and crumble. I don't think Johnny's that kind of bloke. No. Everyone I've spoken to who knows him says that he is an extremely resilient character, and I expect him to come back from this.
Yeah, look, absolutely. He's actually had a rather kind of tragic life story to an extent, certainly in the early years with the sad passing of his father and stuff like that. And he's come out and been very candid in that. And he's basically said, look, that has made me a very resilient young man. Now, but it's easy to forget, when Johnny Bairstow was first given the gloves at Test match level, he was not a wicketkeeper, really. He's turned himself into a wicketkeeper. He's not someone that you look at and go, gosh, you look like a natural athlete. He's somebody who's worked exceptionally hard at his game and just drained every little drop of talent that he has in his body out there. He is not going to have the kind of mental fragility to absolutely go to pot after getting out the first ball of a World Cup. It's not ideal, but you know what? With these great players, and I'm starting to consider him slightly in that echelon, not quite, but with these seriously, seriously good players, they don't just lose it. We are joined again now by Monty Panesar. Hello, Monty.
Hi, I'm back.
We're just talking about Johnny Bairstow there. Obviously, a first ball duck in the first game of the World Cup, at a home World Cup. I don't know, you wouldn't have overlapped with Johnny at England level, but he's the kind of guy who's not going to go to pieces just because of one dismissal, is he?
No, he's not going to go to pieces, but I think other teams are going to start looking at this. I always said it's the strategy that the bowlers would use, and this is great, you know, they're using spin. You know, the batsmen are actually used to the pace on the ball. Other teams are going to be watching. Mm. They're going to be watching this. They're going to think, actually, maybe we should open it with a spinner.
Mm. Would you, as a bowler, you know, as a spinner specifically, be the kind of guy who sees that and goes, actually, skipper, I think I should open the bowling today. I think I'd be the kind of bloke who could have an effect in this game.
Yeah, because this is what other teams got to do. They've got to find out ways. How do we stop England scoring under 350, under 300?
And do you think spin is the answer?
I think because the top three batsmen, the top four batsmen, when they practice, they always practice pace on the ball with the new ball. They know they have to clear the infield. It's a different, you know, the game plans are all, you know, set for pace bowling.
Yeah.
But they're not used to having a spinner open the bowling. So I think this is what I think as a cricket fan and also as other teams they want to see people taking on England.
Mm. Do you think England will relish the pressure of being favourites? Do you think they'll enjoy the pressure of being favourites?
I think if England can play the brand of cricket that they play during the one-day series against Pakistan and emulate that during the World Cup, I think they're going to embrace it, they're going to enjoy it, they'll take it on. But if they're not playing the cricket that they want to play, they may feel the pressure. I just hope that they continue to play the cricket that they've been playing over the last 6 months.
Monty, as you know, this is the Nick Compton Cricket World Cup show. I am merely a substitute, but by the magic of radio, we've got Nick on the line now. Nick, we've got Monty in the studio. Fire away.
The great Monty Panesar. So Monty, I've got a big question to ask for you. Are they going to target the spinners? Is Adil Rashid and Moeen Ali going to get taken down?
If I was an international coach, that's what I'll be saying to my batters. I'll be saying, we've got to target the spinners. We've got to target one of the spinners and try and not give... When the spinners are coming on to bowl, to take wickets, don't give your wickets away. You know, have that match awareness. So I'm speaking from now, I'm actually not supporting England. I'm speaking from that perspective. You know, I'm sure...
Monty, you turned quickly. Yeah. I know you worked for the Aussies for a little bit, but you turned very quickly.
So now we get the back, get the three lines hat back on, and I would say please don't go after Moeen Ali or Adil Rashid.
Yeah, Nick, I just want to throw over to you. Look, not a great start for Johnny Bairstow, unfortunately. After all this build-up, all this preparation, he snicked off first ball. What do you think will be going through his head now? Do you expect him to come back stronger?
Oh, look, Johnny's a strong character. I mean, he's performed incredibly well. You know, for a number of years. I mean, both of them. I mean, Roy and Bairstow are arguably the two most dangerous opening batsmen in this tournament. We did say that Rabada and Giddy were going to be the powerhouse for South African cricket. You know, that's where their strength lies in their opening bowling. Rabada, the number one bowler in the world. I mean, you know, you're going to get out early every now and then, but it gives chances to others. You know, we know that England have got huge strength and depth. And, you know, trust me, Bairstow will be back in this tournament, that is for sure. But it is the Oval, Jason Roy's home ground. I did say that he would hopefully get some runs. I don't want to put the mockers on him, the commentator's curse, but let's hope the Surrey player can get some runs at the Oval.
Nick, absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. That's Nick Compton there, of course, who will be back with you again tomorrow morning, 10 till 11. Monty, we've just about got time for another cheeky little plug of this fine piece of literature that you've brought in to us. What is it? Where can we get it?
Yeah, it hasn't been officially launched yet, but we're definitely publicising it. We're getting good coverage on GMTV, on Sky Sports, and Andrew Flintoff has, you know, done the forward for me. Yeah. And
he's obviously a guy you played with at international level. Is he the best player you played with at international level?
I would say someone who had probably a huge character, a huge presence. You know, someone on and off the field. You could really like people warm to him. Mm. I was yesterday at the launch party and everyone was loving Andrew Flintoff and Paddy McGinney. They were both together. You know, that seems to be his new best friend at the moment. And so yeah, you could see like, you know, Andrew Flintoff was there and everyone just loving him. And and I think that's, you know, there's very few sort of, you know, characters in the game who have that. When they enter a room, everyone just loves them.
Does that also come with a little bit of pressure? You know, I think of someone like Neil Razor Ruddock, right, who was known as that sort of character, but he also felt the pressure of having to be that. You're obviously someone who's been very popular through your career in dressing rooms. Did you also feel a little bit of pressure to be Monty Panesar all the time?
I think I felt the pressure when I wasn't performing well. It's very easy. You take wickets, everyone's celebrating, everyone's enjoying my wild celebrations because we're winning. Yeah. Even the captain is happy, even the coaches are happy. But it's when you're not performing well. Then they start thinking, well, we don't need that celebration. That celebration or that, you know, the crowd cheering when the ball comes down to Findling and we're like, you know, 200 for one chasing leather. You know, that's when it gets a bit annoying. Yeah. So this is my enthusiasm, love for the game, the celebration, all good when we're winning. But when we're not winning, I probably need to have a little mute button.
You know, never mute yourself once you're a national treasure.
The fans will say, can you just
we have one of those buttons. We use
with 200 for one. We use it. Please don't cheer when the ball's down to find leg.
Just finally, you're someone who we saw improve in international cricket. Not necessarily with the bowling, although of course that improved as well. But the batting and the fielding. How hard did you work on that? Just quickly.
I worked really hard. I tried, you know, various techniques on getting my batting correct. But what I found was that the older I got, I should have been slightly smarter in the way I approached cricket. And fielding was great, you know. I've got big hands and everyone's going to ask the question, Monty, how do you drop catches? We will answer that question tomorrow morning.
And you can read it in the full Monty with Monty Power. So Cricket World Cup show's back tomorrow.